Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. It is time to step into that sippy zone where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, with confidence, control, and awareness. And this evening, we have something very, very special waiting for you. We have a guest that is returning for a second time. His name is Gerald O'Donnell. And if you want to hear our first interview, you can scroll down below and you can click on that interview, and it is archived. You can listen to it. Gerald O'Donnell says that you have the power to change the entire course of our future. His courses, where he teaches it, will show you the way to connect to the ocean of love and light. The link to those courses are going to be right here below after we finish this broadcast. Another thing that Gerald O'Donnell says is when you take one step towards God and God takes a step towards you, everything changes. So go ahead and get a copy of the free ebook explaining the secrets of co-creation. The link to that is also going to be right here below. Gerald O'Donnell sacrificed many years just to bring this important message to save humanity. We appreciate your work, Gerald O'Donnell, and we appreciate that it has been a long journey. And I appreciate a lot that you have agreed to join us this evening and to talk about Jerusalem and the Middle East and all the things that are happening today. I just read some of the articles before the show that are basically proclaiming all over the world that the recognition of the state of Palestine has been in Switzerland, in Europe, in Greece today, actually. Today, just Greece said that they are going to recognize the state of Palestine. So a lot of things are going on. A lot of things are happening. My voice is not exactly atop where it should be, but I really, really want to tell you, I would like to bring Gerald O'Donnell into the studio with me, and I'd like to thank you, Gerald, so much for joining us today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, with everything that is going on in the world and all the interferences that we can actually feel, this happens to be one of the most important talks you can possibly have today. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yes, it is, because It's at the core of the continuation of our creation. It's about the reality of our creation.
So,
and I'm going
right
to explain
now,
why.
We're right now on the tip of something amazing taking shape, something totally turning around. There is this heavy, heavy energy going on, definitely on the physical, but there's a lot of things going on beyond that that you have actually taken a look at. What is the most important thing that you think that we need to know?
We need to know that this creation is a creation based on duality. But duality does not mean at all that it has to be opposition. You can have duality in integration and love. The way a male and a female would love each other and then produce something, whether it's a baby or a beautiful home, or you can have opposition, and that's where the so-called darkness in creation arises from. And the level of duality can be expressed amongst people, between people in a couple, or between people in a relationship, whatever that relationship is. It could be expressed between humans as a group and nature as another group, and especially between humans and their source, the creator. The more the humans are disconnected from the core in perception of whom they come from, the more they feel disconnected from each other, and the more the duality becomes an opposition, and then it becomes a dark force. And when we talk about a dark force, I mean a force that will cause a lot of suffering and a lot of imbalance and potentially can destroy a creation.
So in one hand, we definitely have the duality here, but what you're saying also is that we really have only one, and we only really have oneness. So the duality is just a conception, it's not really a duality. There is the oneness. We are all one, but then we have the perception as if we have the duality, or
yeah.
The perception is the separateness. Can you explain that?
I will explain it absolutely. I'm going to use a lot, which I usually don't do in an interview, but I'm going to use the old Hebrew language.
It's the
highest metaphorical language in creation. As a matter of fact, most of creation is created using Hebrew letters on the higher levels, which are then the fire letters, and then creation.
Right, that's why I want you
encoded.
To use those words. Right, I want you to use those words so we can explain it, because it's important. It's part of creation.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of my students who have gone to very high levels, that I have nothing to do with the Hebrew people per se, or descendants of the Hebrew people,
right.
have started dwelling into those letters. And these are keys. Those letters are keys to opening parts of your mind, of your DNA, that you would never be able to open otherwise, just by focusing on them. When you focus and you start understanding the meaning of those letters, understanding the meaning of words, and then you go deeper, your mind literally opens up to a higher degree of understanding and awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely have felt that.
You cannot do it in a translation. You have to do it with the letters. So the reason I'm saying this, I'll give you two examples. The way, so to speak, God is called in Genesis, you know, the third word of Genesis.
Yes.
At the beginning, created. With the word in Hebrew, to create is br, which means vibration. The br is the vibration of creation. The beginning
right, so
is
the words that they use from the word br is they use the word bara.
Bara
comes
exactly.
from the word bra.
Exactly.
To create.
Exactly. Even in Indian, the Indians, the Hindu will say that Brahman, you know, is the creator. That Bra is the vibration per se. Hebrew means the Hebrew creation. The brewing of creation was
Bra
done through
again.
The letters.
Oh, there you go. Uh-huh.
Through that language, which is not a language that pertains to the Jewish people. It pertains to the source.
Right. To the one.
To the one. It's not. It belongs to no one. It belongs to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's our language. It's the oldest language. As a matter of fact, I have pictures of that language being shown from North America to the middle of China or South America that are supposedly 20,000-30,000 years old in caves.
Wow.
You find the same letters, the old Hebrew, are there. Mm-hmm. Sketched in stone. So what I'm trying to get at is that when you say the word the God in the third world, it's called Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Now El is like the Alpha. It's the one. It's the El in not only in Hebrew but in the whole Middle East is a representation of how the one operates, and then we can go into details in the letter per se, but I'm just saying this is the one. Then you have El Hayam, is the God of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Which
Yam
is Elohim,
ocean.
El Hayam, got it?
Yeah, Elohim is El Hayam. So it means the God of the ocean. In Hebrew, in order to make a plural, you will add the word ocean to a word. If you have
any word...
To any
right.
word, and you put ocean, yama, it's pronounced im, and then when you put yod mem, it means that there is multiples of this. That's where the word multiples
okay,
comes.
Okay, so yam
That's where the mother
means ocean. The word
yeah.
yam means ocean, and the word yam, adding the word yam, ocean, to any word in Hebrew makes it plural.
Plural.
Right, got it.
You have two... awarenesses. You can have the awareness of Elohim, which means the awareness that you are many, but you at the same time you are still El, you're still the one. So you are many, operating as many within the notion of understanding that you are operating within a whole totality which is one, and you perceive it. That is being a divine being. Or you can have the what we call the Egyptian system, which in Hebrew is called Mitzrayim. Mitzar is a prison. So it means Mitzar,
yeah.
Yam, a prison of the ocean. Now, at that point, you are not aware of being part of just one being. You start imagining that there are many gods, and you create many gods because the thought forms create. And you start creating many facets, many gods, and then you start being stuck in this idea that you are forming groupings against groupings, and that the gods are fighting, and then you are fighting, therefore, you understand? And then the whole notion
of one becomes lost. I just had this idea that came to me when you said that Egyptian means being held in prison. Does that really mean that the story in Genesis about the Egyptian, the Jews,
yes,
the Hebrews being slaves, are being slaved in the actual word Egypt? They're being slaved into thinking that they're separate from the one?
Yes. If you look at the
their
representation of the pyramid, you'll notice, does not have a capstone. Well, because they were aware that the one has been lost in their awareness. In the story of Egypt, which is still our story, we're still in Egypt. We're still slaves.
Right, we're still
in bondage. Our mindset is enslaving us. In the story of Egypt, there was one attempt, which is the father of Tutankhamun, which was Akhenaten, who tried to bring back the notion of the one and take away the notion of the many gods from Amon-Ra.
You use the word Tutankhamun. What's that? What is that word?
Well, that's an Egyptian word.
What does that mean?
It means I'm not going to decode it right now.
Okay.
It's not important.
No, but you used the word and it didn't make sense within the content of the sentence. If you don't know, wait. So you're saying it's an Egyptian god or something?
No. It was the son. No, you know Tutankhamun, the one that the famous young boy that was, they think, slaughtered when he was young. His father was Akhenaten, and Nefertiti was
something?
The Thoth. Yeah.
The
god Thoth, which is Thoth, which is intelligence. Thoth, yeah, you know, the idea of wisdom. I don't want to go into decoding names now, but I'm just saying that story is also when there was an attempt. There have been many attempts to bring back the notion of the one to creation, and they were opposed by levels that are lower, that were wanting the old cults of the many gods to be there, which was at that point the call of Amun-Ra, which is the word used in Hebrew for bad or for your neighbor. When I say when you love your neighbor like yourself, the Bible will use Ra. Your neighbor is not someone you should hate. You should love him. But when you perceive him as being different, then that's what can cause potentially evil.
So it all comes down to the perception of being separated and different.
Now, you can always perceive you're separated and different, but you can love that perception. You can cherish the fact that we have a kaleidoscope of colors, tones, and it's like a beautiful symphony, and embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that we are all facets of the same, or you can look at it as someone that you should pull away from because he's not like you. And you form your grouping, and they form their grouping, and one grouping goes and will fight the other one. At that point, you have that facet that goes back to back, which is the horned animal, you know, the horned one, I'm not going to say what it is, which shows polarity, one against the other, facing one way, and the other one faces the other way. We turn away from each other. That's the dark force.
Right. That's this unit. The one that tries to make you think that you're separated and you're different and you should fight each other.
Yeah, and enslave each other.
Clear.
And enslave each other, either physically, economically, spiritually, anywhere you can. You know, control others. But the whole idea of controlling is the same thing. It comes from fear. That's basically the idea of fearing someone else. When fear grows, as it is right now, we see it in the political arena, we see it in the international situation, we see it the way medicine is being applied. Everything has turned into a fear, control, profit situation, and then it's getting not better, it's getting worse because humans have lost the idea that they are one operating as many. The idea of Elohim, they've gone into the idea of being many that are real and then that have nothing to do in reality with each other and have to compete and be stronger than each other and survive. That is Mitzrayim. That's Egypt. We are in Egypt right now.
Right. So we never got really released
never
from
left.
That bondage.
No.
So what is going on now in Jerusalem that is in that part of the world, which is also a very significant part of the world?
Okay. The creation has a prototype. It operates from the levels of metaphor of stories that are kind of a metaphor, unto the stories of the application of the metaphor.
Right.
At the level of the metaphor, which is the whole structure of a creation, but on a higher level, there are entities that are operating at that level that operate that metaphor, and then we are then being used almost like pawns, playing this game of creation. Well, those entities are arising and operating that story on a higher level. That's what they call it, metaphor, metaphysics, whatever. It's on a higher level of understanding and operations.
Mm-hmm. Is that
and
the energy level?
Including the energy levels, yes. What we call the higher energies or lower energies, depending on where they are situated. These are all energies that are as real as we are. As a matter of fact, they're by far more potent and real, and they somehow live by far longer than a human being does. So they can span a whole creation.
But so, those higher, these negative and positive forces, right?
Yes, and they shift. They make alliances. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. They really make alliances between themselves, and they try to reverse a situation to their liking, whatever their liking is.
Mm-hmm.
And they are operatives. And we give them energy too, depending if they come from levels close to the source, in which case they usually gift things to us. If they come from levels that are close to operations of darkness, we are then become batteries for them, because we give them energies by our thoughts, by the way by which we operate. Because the more fear we operate in, the more we give them strength. They need fear in order to operate. They need terror to be widespread in the world, because that gives them energy. But in reality, what we don't realize is that it is our choice that that gives an intensity to the force of terror and fear versus the force of love and union. There are two forces in the universe, nothing else. Terror and fear, which create separation, that's what it is, and violence and so on and so forth, and death. And then you have the other side, which is the original side, which is love, which creates then therefore union, and then glues everything back into peace.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two forces of the universe, and our choices are our choices. Every individual makes that choice within, whether they can see someone in the eye of understanding that this is someone that's different, thinking differently, operating differently, but it is as godly as it is. It makes no difference as long as it fits a habit or a direction that will point towards unification and love.
Mm-hmm.
Those entities are to be embraced, and then or whether you see someone in the eye of a foreigner, someone who's trying to take over your country, someone who's trying to come over, you cannot see creation in the eyes of building walls, building separations, building fortifications. The more you fortify yourself, the more you're going to get attacked. It's an immediate mechanism, because we don't realize that our action comes first. The reaction is the darkness that then arises from our perception in our hearts, not necessarily in the way by which we operate in the world. And our reaction, our action will cause either the dark to show up and infiltrate human beings in actions in this creation, which is in reality a collective dream, or we're going to have the opposite, where those entities will not show up, and other the exact opposite is going to start arising, which is love, union, respect of the other, even if they are of different color. Who cares? I mean, that's what makes it. You know, you don't want to. You want to hear one tone in the universe, or you want to hear a symphony? You want to see nature being made out of one species
symphony.
Or billions of species?
Definitely symphony, definitely one species. So what you're saying
right.
is that there is an attempt now in that part of the world, in that Middle East, to put fear inside people so that they can utilize that fear to grow. And if we don't accept that fear, then we have the choice to see the beauty and to stay in the beautiful oneness of creation.
Right. Okay, I'm going to explain also the meaning of Jerusalem. The physical world is a projected world. It exists for us. For God, the physical world is a vibration. He sees it in a different way. At the level of the vibration of the physical world, you're aware of it, but not in a physical sense. In order to go and have a physical sense of it, you would have to enter the reality, what we call the brain, whatever brain that is. It could be a human brain, it could be the brain of an animal, but you would have then suddenly you get this idea that you're inside a dream with 3D space-time reality. But at the level of the higher level, they operate at the level of vibrations. And we have to understand that the totality of creation, this whole universe, at some points, because it was known that it was the force of separation was so well done. The idea that I'm isolated, I'm one here, but by myself, and myself is more important because I need to survive than the other. It was created as such that it was known that humans would first take the separative modes, and then even the entities that are attached to the humans, the higher energies that are connected to here, would eventually also go into this fighting and separation mode. So the one, the original one, at points will need to reconnect and then try to bring back the creation to itself by showing that they've all erred, they've all made mistakes, and then they need to experience, because if you don't experience the one, you can talk about the one from here to eternity, but it's not going to change you much. You need to have this experience. And when the one is connected to a creation and he gives the ability to have this experience, the humans should take advantage of it, because it's very rare that humans have this ability, because the moment you have this experience once, you're changed forever. You never see the world in the way by which you saw it before.
The experience of feeling what it feels like to be connected. That's what you're saying.
It's more than that.
My question is, you said that we'll need to reconnect, but the fact of it is what you just said is that we are already connected. So when you say reconnect, you say understanding that we're connected? Because if you're already connected, how are you going to reconnect?
Okay. You're connected to the one through the fact that you have a life force in you. That's the connection
right.
you get.
Right.
And that life force is circulating through the whole circuitry of creation. But
right.
the awareness of being one is
the
different.
The awareness. Okay.
The awareness that you right, you and the awareness of being part of this creation is different from the awareness of being part of the totality of creation.
Right.
That's the one.
Okay.
It's not only one creation; it's an infinite amount almost of creations. We don't even know how many because that changes all the time. So, I can only describe what I know, what I've experienced.
Right.
Okay. And I've experienced on October 6, 1989, an experience which was given to me. When I went and I experienced the one, which means that I was bathing in this ocean of golden light, and my brain didn't exist anymore. I was just a point of consciousness, but I could expand and contract within this enormous ocean. In other words, I had no feeling, no hearing, no nothing. I was just purely this ocean of golden light, which is the real reality operating there.
Wow. Well, and what do you mean? You were just kind of walking down the street and all of a sudden you experienced it?
No. I was in the middle of doing some work, and suddenly I lost the ability to hear somebody else, and then I understood that I had to lay down on a couch. I lay down on the couch, and then the whole dream disappeared. What you call creation just wasn't there anymore, and I was just consciousness, pure consciousness. But
wow.
I remained aware. When if you don't mind, I'll read this. It's not far. That's when Jerusalem comes in. Okay. So I will read it. The experience is given. One is drawn to it. The feeling is totally indescribable. It is a sensation of being inside of the body, outside of it, here and there, everywhere. I have the knowledge of having a body, but without having any perception whatsoever of it. Everything unites. Everything is one. Everything is consciousness. The dream disappears. I become aware that all there really is consciousness. I know it now for a fact. There is only light left, with a strong sensation of vibrations attached to it. It has the color of gold, but not with a reflective property. It is as if the gold will be emitting the light. It has the quality of fire. It engulfs me with a quality of solidity and intensity that I cannot possibly describe, and yet I'm all of it, the totality of it. All I do is travel in awareness within the totality of it to different levels, differentiated in intensity of light and vibration, from lower to higher and back down. This is total ecstasy. This is awesome. This is the burning bush. This is the point at which one can enter the dimension of awareness. This is the point at which the name is changed. This is very powerful. This is consciousness with consciousness unifying. The brain does not interact at this level. Only words remain. It is given to me to know, for a fact, that Jacob, as he went forth carrying the seed of Abraham, lay down on the earth, closed his eyes, and became aware of the same thing I'm aware of now, which means that he became totally aware of him, of his being consciousness, and went through the same special experience. And as he went through that experience, he knew that the point within his notion of space upon which he rested was a nodal point of connection between the consciousness of this universe and the global consciousness of all of creation. And he, so to speak, put a rock at that point of nodal connection. As he lay down on that point in space, he, as part of global consciousness, experience the totality of creation. That point, through the knowledge that was carried through the conduct of the sperm, was then made manifested by King David. This nodal point of connection remains located now in the exact same location as it was located before. Its location is as exactly the point where the mosque of the Dome of the Rock lays in the city of Jerusalem. Hence comes its name. This is the exact location on which the Holy of Holies was built. This is the nodal connection between the global consciousness of this manifested universe and the global consciousness of all creation. Man can, if he wills to do so, connect to the totality of creation by placing himself at that general location, which is the city of Jerusalem, and contact at this nodal point of contact through his higher consciousness, the godliness. This will remain forever so. Use the knowledge. Okay.
Wow. So many things are going through my mind that I can't even begin to describe it, but it sounds a very tiny little flicker of similarity to the time when I felt my body, myself just leaving my body, saying, that's it, I don't want my body, and watching it from the top, and the connection that I felt to everything, when my body was literally not breathing. So I knew it was there, but I didn't feel connected. Like, it's maybe a tiny little flicker of what you said, but it's so much more.
Yeah, that's more, because I'm going to tell you something. You know, the whole notion of orgasm, when the unification of male and female happens, is at the moment, the French call it la petite mort, the small death, because at that point your consciousness becomes pure consciousness when it unites with another consciousness. It's a moment when you remember who you really are, because you come originating, everybody comes originates from that level and then goes down in levels and levels into more and more separation and darkness and then less vibration, because that point is so vibratory that I cannot even describe to you the ecstasy. It's beyond.
That's where everybody's yearning to go back. Everybody wants to, even if they don't even know that they want to, but they always want to.
Yeah,
so
they think that if they have
an orgasm, you know, it might take them there.
Yes, they're looking in reality for that. The soul is remembering remotely where it came from. It's trying to reproduce that through the physicality. But it's like a tiny little shadow of the constant orgasm, which is happening at that level, which is beyond the beyond. It's not canonic. Without that orgasm, there will be nothing happening here. Creation wouldn't exist. Because
not
at that level...
Orgasm, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And so the same way that people are yearning for an orgasm without really knowing why, people are all yearning to go to that spot where the Dome of the Rock is built and claim it as they own it, not even knowing why, but that's the point of where you can actually connect to the energy over there. Has got to be some kind of a level where it's easier to connect yourself to that ocean of love. Is that why they call it a holy place? That's what they mean by holy, not really understanding what holy means.
Yeah, it's holy also with a W, because Shalem, Yerushalem, means holy with a
Shalem
W.
Shalem means whole. Yeah.
Whole. You can't,
right.
in order to experience the one, you have to recreate the one from this level up. You have to bring all the parts that are here in perception separated and want to disconnect. From each other sometimes because of fear. You have to bring them and embrace them. And as you bring them in, you're recreating the one. And as you're recreating the one, eventually the whole creation becomes whole again. It's wholesome. And that's where word Shalem, which means whole, comes from. Word Shalom means peace. That's the peace of God. It's not the peace of man. It's when all the little piece, P-I-E-C-E, of the God, of God, connect together, and then there is real peace, P-E-A-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to connect first, and with love, not with fear, or with doubts, or with suspicion, and certainly not with weapons. So this is the movement in creation. The story of Jerusalem is the story of bringing creation back to its wholesomeness. And you cannot separate Jerusalem in two, because if you do this,
or three,
you will find that this creation, and this is not the first attempt in this creation, that we know of, it's the third. This is going to be the third attempt. If you do this, the real one will need then to separate itself from this creation, as he has tried through so many means, events, messages, I can't even think what that hasn't been done yet, to bring this notion of oneness to humanity and warning about their ways that need to change from going against each other towards facing each other.
So what is stopping humanity from listening? Because obviously there's a lot of humans that do hear it and do understand it and do have the, even if they don't understand it completely, they have the yearning to join, to understand the oneness.
Okay.
What is stopping them from, since we're talking about words, let's take the word Palestinian, and what does that mean? How does that work into that?
Well, before we talk about the Palestinian, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. When you go up in the on the Temple Mount, which is where the old Jerusalem Temple was built, and then in the Jerusalem Temple you had the Holy of Holies, and on top of the Holy of Holies, which represented that area of creation that we are in, there were the so-called cherubim, two angels that would face, touching their wings face to face. They would look at each other in love and in connection. The whole idea was the connection. That was the Ark of the Covenant, which was a connection between God and man. It was extremely powerful, not because it was some kind of physical device or whatever they've invented now. No. The energy was pure godly energy in it. So when this was present and people were in that presence, a miraculous event will happen to the people that were in that presence, because at that level, everything is possible. All the rules that we think are the rules of our nature, whether it's human nature or the nature around that we operate with, you know, the natural world, can be broken in a second, because the one that's keeping those rules is really the one. It's keeping it in its mind. So it can change everything in a second. Only if we come in that holiness, and there was that, but this was lost. From the first temple to the second temple, that notion even was lost. And as now the city is again under unification, I was receiving messages later on, directly from the one that was saying that Israel, first of all, it's not Israel, it's Yasharel. It means directly to God. Yashar means directly to
Yashar
God.
Yashar means direct.
There's no sir, there's sure. It's a fire sound.
Oh, I always thought it was Isra, meaning soldier of God, of God.
Not at all. No, it's Yeshael. The same word, Yerushalem, does not have a yod like they do it now. It's only showing now the separation, the multiplicity of it. We're not there yet. But in the whole Bible, you'll never see that city written with a yod of the ocean at the end. It's not a multiplicity. It's a unification. It's a process. It has
so
to become Jerusalem. That's why Christians
there.
Call it Jerusalem. They don't call it Jerusalem like the Hebrews do, because that was the name.
Right.
So this unification has to happen in that land. Now, if you go up on the Temple Mount, there is a mosque right now.
Right.
It's called the Mosque of Omar. Right on top of that stone sticking out of the ground, which is made out of the golden light. You can see the color of that light. It's a very powerful energy that's hiding there.
Right.
Very powerful.
Under the mosque.
Under the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, they know it. But at one point, they turned away from it. They themselves turned away, because even though the Muslims, even though in the story, and I'm going to tell you a story, and I don't want to go into the story, even though Muhammad had supposedly an experience with the faraway mosque, where he went connected first to that point in Jerusalem, and then went up, like I did, he went up to experience the godliness, he then turned around and then went, put his back to it, and turned towards a darker area. In other words, he started playing the game of separation. On purpose, because that was not, he was made to play that, because we have to start as a humanity to feel the pain of what a broken family is like. We are the most dysfunctional divine family ever created. Man.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense.
We are
totally dysfunctional. We fight with each other constantly.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And
that's
you can
true.
See, and even in the story of supposedly the Arabs and the Jews were brothers, literally. I mean, they descend from the same father.
Family. Mm-hmm.
The family. Instead of seeing the unification, even though there was the perception that they all come from the same family, it became a competition. Who has the last message? Who has the first message? Who is more?
Who has the blessing?
The opposition was created immediately. It didn't take too long, and then it got off. The original core message was there, but it got off again. And they have to make they have to unite. They have to see each other as brothers, cousins, whatever, before anything happens.
Why were they separated? Why were they turned against each other? Why did they have to go through this?
Because this creation does not operate from it operates from it's birthed almost in fear, and then goes back to love. It's birthed in separation. The first act in the Bible is an act of killing. It's birthed in competition and fear, and it has to bring itself back, because as it continues with the idea of fear and separation, because it's so incredibly done, the idea that I'm in a 3D world and my hands are mine and they're out. I don't want to get into biology now, because that's for some other discussion.
Yes.
There is really nothing outside of you. It's a magnificent projection of a movie that you're dreaming in. But the while this is happening and we all are having this common dream of consciousnesses, we have to understand and get back to the notion that behind us, we are still in this ocean of the real higher ocean of consciousness, where everything is vibrating and everything is magnificent. So we are still that, but we have to get back to that notion of love and recognition of that. And in order to get to recognition of love, we have to get to the recognition that there is. The idea of one God was not to discard the many gods. It didn't come for that. It came for us to understand that we are one, that we have the same source. We come from the same origin, and we cannot leave that. We're still getting that, whether we are humans or angels, higher beings, or we are souls that are departed. They're still there. This is what they are. Everything is one. There has never been two. It cannot be two. But the perception of two can be given. So there's a direction in creation from the one to the two, and then there's direction from the one to want to bring us back to at least the experience of the one. And when we have that experience, then we look at others in a totally different way, because we know they are just facets of the same. It's like a diamond that has many facets, but it's the same diamond. You don't want to destroy the diamond. You just want them to operate in balance, in harmony, and then not to hurt each other, not to destroy the family.
Right, because when you destroy one facet of the diamond, you destroy the whole as also. You don't just destroy somebody else's facet. You're destroying your own other facet.
Keep destroying yourself.
Destroying yourself, right.
Yeah. I had someone, you know, when we did the last show, you know that person, she listened to the show, and I was talking about the notion of cells being us regarding cancer, what really is cancer. And she got the idea, and she said, you know what, I have a case of acne that I've been trying to fight for years through using old kind of allopathic or alternative medicine. Why don't I just go in front of a mirror and talk to myself and tell them how much I love them, how beautiful they are, and bring them back into my awareness. Just make them me, not something outside of me, using means that are outside of me. Just make them me. I talk to them because they're aware.
Right. Not trying to get rid of something that isn't part of me. Try to embrace it as part of me.
Embrace it as being part of me. And you know her, because I just spoke to her this morning, and she cleared the condition after 10 years.
Yeah,
she couldn't believe it.
I actually saw her last night, and her acne is almost gone. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Okay.
So it's about embracing rather than fighting something that we think is something we don't like.
Right. Like you cut it off. You want to get rid of it because it's disturbing, or it's not part of your culture. It's not part of your ancestry. Or it's not part of your skin color. It's not the same language. It's not the same origin. And then people go to levels of madness, because then that's where madness enters the scheme of things. And then you cannot stop this. The one cannot go to every single little detail of this creation and tell them stop it and scream at them, first of all, they wouldn't hear it. And that's not the way the one operates. It sends a message trying to explain to them how they operate, showing signs to them that they operate, and they have to experience that. In order to experience it, there has to be first the desire to experience it, because if the desire to experience it is not there, they're not turning around. I'm going to go back now to this, to what I'm trying to say. That mosque on top, if you go on the southern wall of the mosque, you're going to see big, like, windows made out of, like plates of marble. You know, marble is a natural stone. When you cut marble, you get designs within the marble, okay?
I
don't even want to ask how this was done, because to me it doesn't make any sense, but there is a stone on the southeastern corner. When you look at that stone, you'll see the image of a monster-like being that has like teeth, like showing teeth, which is that shows fear. You know, when you're afraid, you like clench your teeth and you start.
Right.
That's like full terror. And if you go in the area of the eye of the brain, the third eye, you will see a being there, looks totally human. As you concentrate on the dark, because the stone has dark and light. It's a white stone, but the design. If you concentrate on the dark, you see that being with the two horns, polar lones, opposite to each other. It represents the lord of the opposition, which is really the force of darkness that's trying to separate us into two, not in unison and harmony facing each other, but back to back, so that we can then fight with no feelings and oppose each other.
Wow.
That force is extremely strong right now. That's where we start the creation, because for God, the creation starts on the right and then goes to the left. For us, we'll go from the left to the right. So as you're facing the wall, you're going to see the beginning of creation is the beginning. It's created in the name of fear. It's created on purpose. And the one who designed that mosque knew exactly what creation will be like.
Wow.
So you see
really
that, doctor, and I'm telling you, when you see that image, it's frightening. Because when you look at it, and some people can find it on the internet, they say, who is that monster? Don't look at the monster. Look at the inside towards the third eye. There is another image there that comes out. And that's you can. It looks like a human. A little bit like a goat, and then it has like those two horns, but they're facing totally positively opposite to each other. That's where we are right now. We're focusing what separates us, what differentiates us. We think we're going to solve our problems by separating from each other, by putting walls. That if Jerusalem is one, we're going to make it two. And that's where I want to say something, and please do understand. I'm not saying this regarding one people or another people. It's a force.
Right.
That's in creation. In the story of the Bible, most of the stories are metaphorical stories. Must shock people, but that's the way it is. You may find trace of them in this world, but the real meaning is the metaphorical meaning that it represents. And the tribes, the so-called Hebrew tribes, when they conquered Canaan, when they finally went out of Egypt and they had to fight their way to try to unite, because they're different tribes coming from the same father, who is Yisrael. Yisrael is Jacob.
Right.
Who is really the one at that point. So they're trying to function. They are getting opposed by what used to be called the Philistines. But in Hebrew, the word for Philistines is a spiral that's called the Pe, which means here. In order for God to create, the consciousness of the one spirals down in a clockwise manner down, like creating time. It's really the way it operates. It spirals down, and then it creates creation.
Like
and
a
the
strand of DNA?
Pulse. Yeah, like a strand.
Okay.
It is a strand of DNA. There's two,
right.
two movements in the DNA, one up and one down.
Right.
So that strand goes down into creation. And time means two. It means that's the force that goes down into creation, bringing with it the notion of two and creating illusionary stories, illusionary belief system. I'm not going to say, I'm touching something, but illusionary stories and situations that will increase the idea that we are really more than one, that we are on multiple levels, and then we are therefore not connected. We don't originate from the same one. We are going to go to Egypt then first. You have to start with Egypt.
So,
that force is not a people. It's the force that's operating in the Middle East. It's a force that's operating in the U.S. right now. It's a force that's operating in Europe. It's a force that is coming everywhere because people are rejecting each other. They're fighting for what they think is their holy background or whatever that is. Not understanding that's not holy. There's no hole in that. And to be holy, you have to accept others that operate differently and see yourself as brothers. Accept them.
Well, you can't operate in the hole with hate and fear. What you're saying is you can only be there with love and acceptance. And so you can't really fight it. There is no way that any war can unite it. It's got to be the opposite of war. So what do they do? What's the solution?
Well, exactly. Now, Jerusalem is like a big pickle because that's not easy to solve right now because of you have two people originating from the same father, supposedly, who were born from the same father, lived in the same area, and are now competing.
And fighting.
It's not only two people; it's three in reality. It's a trilogy. It's you have Judaism, Christianity, and the Muslim world. They're trying to compete for who has the final and best word and the ultimate message. When in reality, instead of competing about studying the word and studying the message, none of them, or very rarely, do they try to connect deeply and have this experience of the one, because if they have the experience of the one, they would never fight each other because they would find this to be childish and ridiculous.
Right, they would be connected and they would have nothing to fight about.
Right. So that's why is an empty, is another picture with blank. It says nothing. You know why it says nothing? Because this is not the second one is not created in advance. It's not the force that goes down and creates the separation to us so that we experience here the idea that I am separated within space and time and culture to you, which is an illusion, but it's given to us. That force is not there. It's the middle one is not written yet because we are writing it. It's us who are going to decide where we go.
It's being written. It's being written right now.
It's being written as I'm speaking.
Right.
Whether we're going to awaken and turn around towards each other and start making love. I don't mean by making love to making love. I'm making being in love with love. Basically, what we're going to start.
You don't mean making love by having sex. You mean making
love
by making
true love. No, making love to love, yes.
Right.
And that's our choice. But we don't know if we're going to get there, because if we don't get there, at that same level, there's nothing. After that, it's over, because this creation has repeatedly tried to send either messengers or there were events that were created to create this sense of unity, and it usually fails. And every single time, the Holy of Holies is destroyed because there is hatred between the people instead of it being love between the people. That wasted hatred, that wasted that sense of suspicion that people have towards each other, the idea of controlling the other, is what destroys the temple. And then when the temple is gone, the connection is gone. And we cannot now, in this creation, go 2,000 years in darkness again, because it's not possible within the laws of nature and within the laws of where we have right now, because we have tools now, and the multiplication of humans is so big, we have tools, technological tools, that are in the process of potentially destroying creation. They haven't done it yet, but if left on our own, we could do this. But if we turn around and we start seeing in everyone the one, then a
which
totally new creation comes in. It's a creation, and then on that wall, in that mosque, when you go a little higher to the left, and there is a little frame there, and if instead of looking at the dark side, you look at the light side, meaning that you look at what unites us, not what separates us. Because remember, the darkness is a sense that gives you the idea of separation. That's fear manifested. Light is the opposite. It's love and a sense with no fear, because you're uniting with people and then you feel balanced and at peace with them, and then you have no reason to you feel enlightened from that. Then you, when you look at that picture, and if you look on the light side, you will see two dolls facing each other, embracing a heart, which used to be before that dark. And then there is like two sets of two commandments, one which is the original Ten Commandments, and then there is a higher Torah, a higher learning that comes over, that they bring in. Because that at that point, there is going to be a flow, a download of tremendous information coming straight from the one, especially from the kids. The kids are going to get it before the older ones get it. They're going to be like flooded with information, and they will transform this planet into a planet that can be operative. And that's why Jerusalem is so important, because it was created as a connection point between this universe and all the other universes. Every single universe has a point like this.
Wow, and that is a great way to end this conversation, and I'm going to be very optimistic and say that the choice of humanity will ultimately be to join hands and to join the one and to really live in harmony and to understand this profound, amazing thing that you're talking about. It's not just the right thing at all. If you just feel a flicker of that, which I think I felt, just a flicker of a flicker, one little drop of the snow, one snowdrop, you can't help but to be pulled towards it. It's part of our nature to be pulled towards the oneness and to just want to love everyone and to just want to become part of that ocean of love. And I think I think because of that we are heading towards an age where that is going to be common knowledge. It's not going to be something that we have to fight for or acquire. It's going to be something that is going to be present all the time. I think all your work and all the years and all the messages that you try to give over and over and over again, and the institution and the teachings, everything is just about to come into a flower and blossom. And usually, two steps before that happens is when we want to walk away. If you feel like you're like, I've had enough, I want to walk away, this is it, I've had it, then you know that you're at the brink, at the dawn of a new day. You know that it's about to come out, and it's about, everything that you've worked for is about to happen. And it's not just you personally, because there's a lot of messengers, like you said, there's a lot of different parts of the world and different people that are coming together to give that message to us. And with us an energy healer on the line, Debbie, that is constantly putting that energy out there individually to people as a group, working hand in hand with you, and you don't even have to consciously know who it is. So on behalf of myself and on behalf of everyone, I really
Phoebe, can
do...
Do I have 2 more minutes to finish something, Gabriel?
Yes, please, go ahead.
This is really very important.
You have exactly 2 minutes.
Okay, in 2005, I went to Jerusalem. I had, like, adventures that you would not believe. I mean, it's really like from a Matrix movie. But I managed to go inside the Mukata, which is the place where the Palestinian Authority is. And I sent this also to the Prime Minister of Israel. What I was sending them is a message which was given to me. It's a message that the city of Jerusalem has to be gifted back to God, the one God. And it won't take long, but can I read it? I'll read it fast, or we don't have time.
Yeah, I think that's basically the essence of everything, is the city of Jerusalem has to be gifted back to God. Go ahead.
Okay, I said here. So I said, a symbol that I call for unity in the one God who created all and everything. A symbol which will shine peace to the rest of this fragmented world, fractured world. Gifting back to God the Almighty what was already his to start with, Yerushalayim in Hebrew, Urshalim in Arabic, so that God, the All-Merciful, may give you all back the gift of eternal peace and great abundance, and you will become a shining example of happiness when the love of God for all of his children is heard with our singing hearts as the children play and smile again together. My name is Gerald O'Donnell. Please do not concentrate on the messenger, but on the message. I know that you get thousands of letters each day that were sent to both the Palestinian, the head of the Palestinian Authority and the Prime Minister of Israel. But please pay close attention to this one, because it contains a suggestion that could be the only solution to your enduring heart struggle. The combatants on each side are wary of strife and bloodshed. There is a sense on one hand of being close to achieving the formerly impossible dream of statehood for the Palestinian people and final peace for the Israelis, and on the other hand, there is a strong perception that if this is not established very rapidly, all could suddenly collapse in a maelstrom of death and utter destruction, which has a great potential to engulf our whole planet. This is why so many statesmen of a great many lands are now feeling the urgency of this inner call for negotiating a just and enduring peace in this region and are actively engaging in this process. Peace negotiations are starting now again. Much will be achieved and all the differences will eventually be settled. Nevertheless, I can always already tell you that the last step at the crux of all this conflict is the issue of Jerusalem, and that it will remain one that will either make or break all apart. And until now, it has always broken peace negotiations. Peace is about unity. War is about separation. Jerusalem, here I'm referring to the original Jerusalem, or the Old City, as the holy city in the Holy Land of the One Mighty and Merciful God, is about unity. It cannot be about separation, for it would then not represent who God really is, one and not two. Two people are laying claims upon it. Two people are originating from the same Abraham, father. Ab means father. Ham is many. Are struggling for control over it. Each one has suffered. Each one has struggled for national recognition and often used violent means to shake the world's apathy. Each one has its martyrs and weeping mothers, spouses, and children. Many hearts are scarred and many minds are clouded with a desire for revenge. Each one has full conviction in the validity of its claims. Each one is right. However, the solution does not lie with any of them. This is not about right or wrong. Rather, this is about truth. The truth of the one God. The solution lies with the Father of both, the one God who unites them both. The solution lies in gifting to the one God this most holy place on this beautiful planet, in making it the city of the one God. The solution lies in making this a city where neither weapon nor strife is allowed nor can exist. The solution lies in making this a city where only magnificent song of praise to the one God are heard, and where life is sweet and peaceful, a city of unity, of brotherhood, and an incredible symbol and attraction for all the people of this earth. This will become the only city on earth gifted by mankind to its creator, to remain for eternity the city of one and of unity. This city would really then become the holy city, whose ground would never, never again belong to any man, but be officially dedicated to belong to the one God whose breath of life unites us all. Millions would come and visit the miracle achieved here in this holy, old holy city, whose ground has received so much human blood because of man's folly for conquest of land and occupation of populations throughout the ages. Billions would revere in its powerful symbolism and holy message. All eyes would be focused upon it, and the world would engage in a final process of peace and reconciliation. Since the inception of man, mankind has struggled to establish claims upon the land he occupies for his brief life. Not even once in history has mankind reserved a place totally void of human real estate claims upon it, anywhere on this planet, to show thanks and gratitude to its creator who has gifted it the ultimate gift, the breath of life. We all pray for gifts from the creator. How many of his children are willing to give the city of peace, Jerusalem, to the creator? Maybe this is the time when this can and should happen, and its message reverberate throughout the universe to all people of this earth, many of them still involved in strife over claims about land and about the one God. This is a general idea. The details will become easy to draft once both sides engage in this most holy process of reconciliation and brotherly peace. And the father of both, the one, would get back his holy city as the old holy city of Jerusalem, where the peaceful and joyful coexistence of its children would symbolize his unity as the one God, father and mother to all. The city of one would then not only be the capital of the Hebrew nation back from exile, but the capital of all nations back from their exile, from the one and the energy of unity. All nations and people of this earth would come and focus upon this holy offering to the one God, the one spirit within all. Who could or would say no to such a wondrous, holy, and courageous gifting of thanks to the Most Holy One? And I'm convinced that from that day on, the Most Holy One would rain infinite prosperity, abundance, healing, and happiness upon all and awaken within our hearts the realization of His loving presence and guidance. Gerald O'Donnell, that was gifted in February 7, 2005. It's on my website.
Wow, that is one of the beautiful things I've ever heard. There, I actually can visualize something like that in a country, a state, I mean a city dedicated to the one where everybody can come in and everybody will be included. That is so beautiful. I definitely want to post it. Oh, my God.
And where everybody will also get this experience as they really desire it, the experience that I had. And trust me, they will never be the same again.
No, of course not. How could you ever be the same again once you washed up with that kind of a light?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So that's basically the essence of your message, to have people united and dedicate something to God. Like you said, I mean, it was so put beautifully with when no man has to own any real estate in here, only basically the city to exist for one purpose, and that's the purpose to be with the one. For the whole world.
Because it belongs to the one. He created
it. Because
created
it belongs to the one.
The earth, of course.
Exactly.
It is.
Very beautiful. An amazing way to end an entire hour, which felt like a minute and a half, talking about something so complete, so shalem, complete, like Yerushalem, that people need to understand that right now. And I really want to thank you so much for bringing that forth and for having the courage to talk about something that is hard to talk about to people who are so divided and so disconnected.
Yes, but it's really necessary. And thank you for allowing me to platform so I can phrase this. Because it's really, especially
amazing.
Now.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And we're definitely looking forward to hearing more from you. Absolutely. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'm a little bit out of breath because that was so amazingly beautiful. It was touching all the way to my core. Towards the end of when you were talking, I literally had to close my eyes because it was so powerful I couldn't even contain it anymore and just let it flow through me, pass it away so that I can actually go back and listen to it. So you're going to have it right here recorded. You can go back and listen to those beautiful words anytime you want. And then you're saying also that they can go to your website and read that, right? Read all your messages?
Yes. Yeah. But we'll send you all the links so that they can go straight from your page and go to this message, and some others are important. But there's so many very, very important messages there and teaching.
Awesome. Awesome. What's the name of your website?
The website is called, again, probablefuture.com.
Probablefuture.com.
Future.com.
And you can go explore all the messages and check them out.
Or you can go
right here below on the description. You will have links to a few separate ones. But just go on the website and explore. That's fine, too. Thank you so much, Gerald O'Donnell, for joining us. I really appreciate it. We are going to be cut off any minute, and I don't want to be doing that. Have a wonderful evening, and hopefully we will see you very, very soon once again. And I also would like to thank Debbie. Debbie, thank you so much. Do you want to give us a word before you left of anything that you've heard?
It was just really beautiful. The angels were there and holding you in a bubble of light and love, and totally agree with everything that you said.
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie, and thank you, Gerald, and both of you, I really, really want you to know that I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And for everybody else that's listening, go have a wonderful day, listen to it, and embrace the joy knowing that we really are all connected to the One, and get rid of that illusion of separation. Until we meet again, have a magical journey.